everyone. Thank you once again for joining us with another episode of Life Chat with Viv and Vil. Now, Vilma, this is our fifth episode. Can you believe we made it this far?
Hi, are you sure?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5?
Yes, 5. Five. And it's been really awesome with the feedback that we've been getting from our audience. Keep it coming, of course. You know, people were talking about the information they got from the psychologists, the nurses. So many people commented of how they were touched and impressed of the type of nurses that we had on. And, you know, they're just looking forward to the next show and the next show. That's the feedback that I've been getting. So what about on your end?
Oh, similar. People are loving it. They want to hear more and they are happy for us and they see us, you know, going somewhere.
Yes. All the way up, right? All the way up.
Yeah. To the top.
Exactly. So let's talk about the show we have lined up for today. The show we have lined up is going to be another great episode, I believe. And but before we do that, let's tell our audience how they can able to get in touch with us once again, Vilma.
All right. So we can be found on Facebook, Life Chat with Viv and Vil. You can email us at livechatvivandvil@gmail.com, or you can go on our website at livechatwithvivandvil.com. We are also broadcast on Vital GH Radio Mondays and Saturdays at 7 p.m. Of course, we are on multiple podcast sites, iTunes,
Spotify, iHeartRadio. Oh, you want me to name them all?
You name it, we're there.
On it. Exactly. definitely. So, this show for today, it's about business individuals and a person who have been working in the restaurant industry for many years. And we just wanted to talk about how this shutdown and COVID-19 with various restaurants, or how this time has affected their lives, and to hear how they deal with this time. And also we have a financial advisor who is on that's going to give us tips on, you know, what we can do with our money at this time and how we can save and how we can able to change our mentality in various ways when it comes to finances and how we think about finances. So I think this is going to be an awesome show in hearing their stories and what things they put in place to make ends meet and et cetera. So Vilma, what do you think about that?
I am looking forward to it. I want to ask you a question. Where was this financial advisor when I needed him? Why were you keeping him to yourself?
Well, my bad. Sorry about that. But now you get to meet him. Definitely. Okay. You can hear ask him all the questions that you have, and he will definitely answer them for you and for our audience.
All right. So I love that.
Yes. So without further ado, I'd love to introduce you to our panel today, which is Melissa, we have Patty Carter, and we have Mark Howard on. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to our show.
Hello. Thank you.
Thank you for coming.
Hi. Hi, everyone. It's great to be here.
Nice. That was Mark.
And Patty? Okay, we're not picking up Patty right now, but Patty Carter is there. She's a business owner.
Hello, so, everyone.
There you go, Patty. Now we can hear you. Melissa, do you want to share with us a little bit about yourself and who you are and what you've been doing?
Yeah, sure. I am a mother of two young children, a 3- and a 5-year-old. I've been in the restaurant business for 11 years now, and I have a flexible schedule with restaurant business because I have the two little ones at home, and then working around my partner's work schedule. So it's been different.
Okay. Mark?
Yes. Hello, everyone. Great to be here. A little bit about me. I am also in the restaurant business, but the roots of my background is I am a CPA, and I have a double master's in taxation and wealth management. And you know, I've been just involved in wealth planning, financial planning for clients, taxation, auditing, business plans, you know, financial analysis, auditing, as I mentioned earlier. So, you know, those are some of the things that I do. And I'm sure we're going to have some questions as it relates to those things in financial planning. So I'm just happy to be here and I'm looking forward to answering your questions.
Awesome. Awesome. Now, Patty Carter.
Hello, everyone. My name is Patricia Carter. As Devon said, I have been a self-employed business owner since 1992. I have a beauty salon called Carter Hair Designs in Aston, Pennsylvania. My salon was closed by Governor Wolf on March the 23rd. So I'm just on here today to talk about what I've been through during this time and how I've managed to make it through this far and prayerfully for the opening up in a couple of weeks. So that's my story.
Awesome. Awesome. Now, Vilma, let's jump right in. What do you think?
Very interesting guess. And Patty, that's your story and you're sticking to it, right?
Yes, I am.
All right. I love that. I love that.
Thank you.
Okay. So why we have you guys here, because there are so many people who are in the same situation as you all are. And I just want you to briefly explain to our audience, how did COVID-19 affect you with your business? And I know Patty mentioned it before. So what about the others? And we can come back to you, Patty, again about that.
Okay.
So for me, as a restaurant worker, working at the Blue Cab Grill, so it's a smaller restaurant, privately owned, I had gotten the call, I believe it was April 12th or somewhere, and it was, we'll let you know, they didn't even want to close. So I was kind of feeling, I'm not sure what was going to happen, you know, and then a week turned into a couple weeks, it turned into a month, and then so on. I have a daughter that was in preschool, so she was started doing the Zoom classes and just being home during that. So, and I'm usually an out and about person, so that made me a home and body. I really had to take a step back and really see what was happening. You know, it's like, okay, this is real, you know, and having to explain to the kids, you know, because they would want to go to the dollar store or whatever, we always would do that. So it turned into, let's get some books and get the books out, started teaching the both of them some different things at home that I usually, I mean, work with your kids, but it was definitely, I had to do it more. And then being home with them all the time was actually great for our relationship, instead of, because they would usually be asleep when I would get home from work, because I would work nighttime hours. And so it's been great. They're 3 and 5. So I've been learning a lot for myself, doing little experiments at home, scientific experiments for the kids. And then we've been having to also go on a budget. I did not get my unemployment for the first month and a half because just backed up, something was held up, so we had to kind of work with, you know, I was cooking more, so I had to cook smarter in what I was doing, buying in bulk, making different meals into multiple meals, you know, and just kind of happened to go through that.
Yeah, so when you got the news that you're being laid off, was it a shock to you? Because you sound like it's so happy, so exciting. The kids, you know, I'm home more with the kids. So were you shocked? Were you devastated? Because I'm not hearing that. I'm hearing you're happy with the kids, spending more time. Yay!
But I mean, it definitely did, you know, because I mean, as a restaurant worker, I do kind of live, you know, week to week and seeing how, you know, tips go and business goes for that week. So we just kind of had to just do things differently, you know, so I couldn't expect to get that, you know, bring home that cash every night. So, I mean, it's been different, but we've made it work for us. Mm-hmm. So we've just been trying to stay busy with being outside, doing different fun activities, doing walks around the neighborhood, you know, a little bit more. We've been playing with the neighbors more. I mean, it's been difficult. Yeah, don't get me wrong, been different, but we've been trying to cope with a new norm, you know, or the new normal, as they say, you know, so, but I can't wait to get back to normal. I can't wait to, you know, go back to work. I love my job. I do. And I love people. And, but then with the kids and everything, I was paying for a babysitter. So, you know, that came into play. Like right now they only have day shift hours open. I have my kids during the day. You know, it's like, I can't pay a babysitter $15 an hour to watch my kids at the flow at work. You know, mm-hmm, it's, mm-hmm. So that's a part too.
Okay.
So, like I said earlier, my salon was closed down on March 23rd, and we were ordered, you know, that we could not open, no open, nothing. I sort of figured it was coming because every day they would come on and they would say different things. And I remember telling my one client, I said, they're going to shut me down. I was like, they're going to shut us down. She's like, oh, you don't have to worry about anything. Sure enough, 4 days later, it shut us down. So during that time, you know, when you're self-employed, if you don't work, you don't have income. Mm-hmm. And I don't think a lot of people fully understand that because most people transition to work from home. Mm-hmm. But then they still got a paycheck.
Right.
So I did not. I became a delivery driver. And Vivian will tell you, I joke about it all the time. You know, that's not my real job. That's not going to be my real job. And here, this is what became my real job. And I still haven't gotten a stimulus check, but by the grace of God, I'm still surviving. Mm. And I just thank him. And my thing that I would tell people is faith over fear, that I'm not, you know, I'm not fearful. And, you know, I've been surviving. I'm a home baker, so I've also baked cakes a few times to make money. You know, I can't say I was in the poorhouse or anything, but when you're not getting any money, you know, so that's what my life has been like during COVID.
Okay.
You know, became a delivery driver. I think I'm pretty good at it too. But that's been my work.
Awesome. So, yeah. What about you, Mark? Did COVID-19 affected your businesses in any way?
Yeah. You know, it was just interesting listening to everyone speak about the effects of this unforeseen virus. On top of that, you know, especially since there's no vaccine, you know, it's just a lot of fear built up in folks. You know, so. You know, when you look at the whole nature of the fear, then transcending over into business, you know, everything gets affected, you know, from the top all the way down to the bottom. You know, I tell folks, this is a time where, you know, not just the poor is losing money, but also the rich. You know, a lot of entertainers who would have wished to perform in stadiums, you know, baseball games, owners of baseball stadiums, you know, who have, you know, large loan payments to pay each month, interest to pay on their debts, you know, everybody's losing money. You know, so, you know, during this time, you know, looking at from that perspective, what I did during this time, you know, as a, you know, CPA and a financial planner in my own gift is that I just started to look more into my budget. You know, mm-hmm. It's important that when we face these unforeseen times, you know, we know our budget. And when you know how your tire sits, your vehicle is going to go very far. You know, mm-hmm. So, you know, now is the time. I heard one young lady earlier talk about how it's expensive to spend at daycare, you know, and now she has to watch her child. So, you know, one of my hosts here. So, you know, that's a perfect example of knowing how your, you know, your budget's going to cost you. You know, is it worth making certain decisions, you know, or are you going to make a decision out of emotion, or are you going to make a decision out of your budget? You know, right. Look, some of you listening may have family members calling you. They need money. You know, yeah, now is the time where we have to help. You know, or a lot of us, you know, we walk in that belief that God helped those who helped themselves first. You know, so, you know, you first have to know your budget. And that's what I took time during this time, you know, to really understand myself more, my personality more. You know, earlier I was talking to you, Viv, about, you know, money personalities. You know, look, now is the time where, you know, folks, you know, you can't go to the bar. You know, you can't go out to sit down, have dinner, laugh, you know, get your mind off of things. You know, but what about getting your mind on things? Mm-hmm. You know, what about getting your mind on those things? You know, what about submitting to your mental emotion as it relates to money, as it relates to people? And I'm going to tell you, Viv, I believe that this time of the COVID was a perfect time for people to really get into their soul searching about that one fact that I just mentioned, mm-hmm. finding out your mind, finding out how you are, you know, connected. Look, we know how to connect the refrigerator. Just plug it into the socket, you know, mm-hmm. so it can work. But how do we work? You know, so that's how I took my time to just find myself as it relates to that.
Okay.
And I see one good thing all three of you have done or have said is how you were able to find ways to make things work. And they have this saying that if life hands you lemon, you make lemonade out of it. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, you turn your hand and make passion. So it's just so beautiful. You didn't just sit down and say, nope. Whoa, me. But you found ways. You got another job. It's not your permanent job. But, you know it's important to have money. And you're not going to steal it. So you find ways to honestly make a living. That's great. That's wonderful. I hope our audience is listening to this.
Yeah, and even what she said she bake cakes and mm-hmm. sell it for mm-hmm. money. For money. That's innovative.
Yeah.
You remind me of the Proverbs 31 woman.
Definitely. Oh, she's very industrious.
Right.
Yeah. So, Patty, you talked a little bit about the stimulus. You say you apply for stimulus. You didn't get that. Talk about that a little bit. What are you know, they're saying that so many people on the news, you hear that so many people receive the check. You know, so many money was distributed. But you just said you didn't get the stimulus check. And Melissa, you also said it took you a while to get unemployment. So talk about those things a little bit, Patty.
Okay, well, with the stimulus, you know, as long as you filed your 2018-29 taxes, you know, they were saying you were eligible to get the stimulus. And, you know, if you had a debit card, you would get it faster. If you had a paper, you know, just a regular bank. But I didn't have my debit card anything linked up to the IRS site. So as of today, I still haven't received it. And every time I go to the website, you know, where's my check, Texas? It's never, we can't find you in the system or, you know, you're not eligible. So I just stopped looking. I said, I'm going to give it a little while longer and then I'm going to start making phone calls. I'm going to start emailing because I know it is busy right now. Mm-hmm. But for self-employed people whose businesses have been closed down, and then I hear stories of people that are still getting checks and are still working that have gotten money. That's mm-hmm. just not fair, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. you know, right. And it's not fair. And people, right. like I said earlier, that people don't understand, because I don't know I don't have a lot of friends that are self-employed, mm-hmm. you know, so people, you know, I got my check, I get unemployment, I get this, I get that. I said, well, you know, when God will send me my check and send me my money when he's supposed to, and until then, he's going to make a way. But I don't want to feel like I'm begging for money that I'm entitled to. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So do you have any suggestion, Mark? Oh, go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, I'll tell you, right? Well, the first thing the first thing to be into on mm-hmm. the onset is to understand how the system works, like understand who's qualifying for it, who's not, you know, what are the rules behind it. I think if we understand the rules, then we can better understand who really qualifies rather than get excited thinking that we qualify, right? So first of all, self-employed individuals, this is what the rule says, right? Self-employed individuals, yes, are entitled to the PPP, which is the Payroll Protection Program, right? And what that program says is, you know, you can get monies up to 2.5 times your monthly profit. Right. So you can get monies up to 2.5 times your monthly profit. So if your monthly profit is $10,000, then you can get a maximum money of $25,000. Right. 2.5%. Mm-hmm. But here's the rules, though. So a lot of people can say they're self-employed. I mean, think about if it was so easy for folks to get it, then everybody would just say, hey, I'm self-employed, too. You know, I made $80,000. But what the government says, because the Payroll Protection Program, first of all, It's governed under the banking regulations. So only banking institutions can offer the loan, right?
That's right.
Only banking. Right. So because banking institutions can offer the loan, they're the ones, it's at their discretionary to say, all right, you're self-employed. Well, they might say, well, show us proof. So for example, I had a client that that also was trying to qualify for it. And he banks with TD Bank. And what TD Bank told him was that, yes, we can give it to you, but TD Bank says you need to have a business account. So now understand this, folks, you're listening. Well, you're saying, well, I'm self-employed. How do I have a business account? Well, what it says is legitimately, it forces you to legitimize your self-employment activity. So it forces you to go register a DBA. So it could be your name, Michael Howard, doing business as Michael Howard Cakes, right? That's my DBA. So once you register your DBA, then you have a business account with TD Bank under a self-employed person individual ID number. And at that point, a person who now steps to TD Bank will say, hey, I have my numbers here. Here it is. TD Bank will say, yep, we approve you. Here is your monies. So that's really how the process works. You know, there's so much confusion out there. Yeah, right. Yeah, because you're self-employed, you automatically get it. But there's some rules behind who gets it and who doesn't.
But you're talking about the PPE. You're not talking about the stimulus.
Now here's the rules on the stimulus now. So the rules on the stimulus is this, right? And by the way, there's a lot of people who have not gotten the stimulus. And the only reason I mentioned the PPP, because I heard you mention self-employed, because self-employed, you do qualify for some monies. But the way the stimulus works is if you earn less than $75,000, you know, you're a single individual or you are a head of household person, then you're going to get the stimulus, right? Now, there's a lot of people who qualify for the stimulus who have still not yet gotten it. You know, it's obvious. I mean, right now the IRS is not even taking phone calls. They just recently opened up, actually. But I'll tell you something. Those of you listening, if you have not gotten the stimulus, the reason why you shouldn't worry about it too much, even though I know you need the monies right now, you're going to get the monies eventually. Unfortunately, you need it now, and now is when it matters. But when you file your 2020 tax return, it's all going to reconcile up into your 2020 tax return, because the money's is considered like your rebate. Similar when Barack Obama was president and they gave that rebate when the economy was doing bad. So for those of you who have not gotten it, when you file your 2020 taxes, it should roll up into it. But hopefully the next month or two, everyone should start seeing checks come in the door.
Right.
That's some very good information, Mark. Very good information.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm able to speak so unconsciously about it because this is all I've been doing the last 3 months, you know, and it's unfortunate. I mean, I go through folks, you know, with the same complaints, and it's unfortunate, but, you know, there's bureaucracies involved, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I know that. There's two sides to every coin. There's that side, and there's the side of the self-employed, I mean, the person that has their own business that is...
Yeah. And, you know, and it's unfortunate, but even recently I read an article that said, you know, during this time, this pandemic is one of the major shifts of U.S. wealth in the history of America. And I'm going to tell you guys, I believe it to be true, because for the government to pump over $3 trillion into the economy during a pandemic that's probably going to last for another 5 months or so. And then who did you see benefit from a lot of these monies? The wealthier companies, the wealthier individuals,
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, so this is almost like a tax legislation that allocates monies towards those who is deemed at higher risk of loss. And it's unfortunate because we all are at risk of loss. You know, whether you make $10,000 a year, whether you make $20,000 a year, whether you make $20 million a year, we all are at risk of loss. But unfortunately, the system of America, which is not a bad system, I'm not bashing it, but it's a system that is set up on rewarding those who tend to gain greater fruit from a tree. You know, it's quicker to reward those. So those who have bigger companies with bigger payroll, I had a client, his payroll is about $250,000 a month. You know, so he got his PPP about a week after the program was approved by Congress. And his PPP was about $500,000.
Wow.
You know, and this was wired right into his account by the bank. I had to do the paperwork, you know, and it was wired very quickly because the banks have the power through monetary policy, Congress, the banks have the power to push legislation by Congress quickly. You know, think about it, guys. Congress didn't have trucks driving up to the banks to drop off cash. No, you know, they passed legislation and then the bank had to realign internally to offer the money to people who qualify. And that's why a lot of banks as well didn't give it to everybody. And mind you, this creates another problem, because does this create a problem where banks now are being favored, you know, showing favoritism to certain businesses or certain people?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these are questionable actions that I myself tend to wonder, because if you're a bank and you have $50 million of power to distribute back to small businesses, then would you rather give those monies to a business that owes you a loan as a bank, or would you rather give it to a small business that does not? So I don't know. There's a lot of, you know, gray areas there that I question, but in the end, the system that we're in, especially during this pandemic, is built to reward those who are deemed at higher risk in terms of loss in the business.
Yeah.
So in other words, that's the haves and the have-nots.
Exactly.
Unfortunately. Unfortunately, so, you know, it's just for us to understand that and be able to shift our mindset and pray a certain way and, you know, and just build our own castles, you know?
Right. I have a question for you, Mark. So sure. Are you saying that the money was given to the banks for them to do the distribution?
Yeah, so,
okay.
You know, keep in mind, right? Yep. So keep in mind, there's two policies in America, fiscal policy and monetary policy. Monetary policy is what controls money. So, yeah, when Congress passed the law and said they're going to offer X to businesses, it's mandatory that it be done through a financial institution, because that is where Congress, you know, Congress is able to stimulate the economy quickly through banks.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
So it's a program done through banks.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know,
thank you.
But I should mention this now. There's another part of the stimulus, which is the deferred loan grant, which is a program done through the SBA, you know, and that program that's done through the SBA is not done through the bank. You know, that's why for those businesses that apply for it, who should have actually, those small businesses you're listening right now, you know, you need to go to the SBA website and apply. Those funds are running out. But those funds now are given to businesses, and it's not given to a business who shows that they're in business, but it's more so given to a business whose owner has decent credit, and you can at least show you've made some revenues, right? Those are the criteria that the government uses. You know, so once you provide those criteria, then the government may offer you a $40,000-$50,000 grant. You know, so, and that grant is payable over 30 years. Yeah.
Me and my accountant was on the phone, and I looked into that. And my theory, and you could correct me if I'm wrong, is that I don't want to borrow any money. I don't care if it's 1%, 2%. Mm-hmm. I don't.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to borrow money because I feel like this is the state of Pennsylvania's fault. And I said, that's just my personal opinion. That's how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to borrow money for something that wasn't my fault. I don't want to go back into business and have to pay you 1%. I don't care if it's point, if it's a 0, 0, 0, I take it. This is a grant. Yeah. Some of those grants you have to repay. They're not all forgivable.
Mm-hmm. And you're right.
Yeah, they have to approve that to be forgiven. I looked into it, and mm-hmm. I'm not borrowing money. Now, if you want to give me some money, I'll take it.
And guess what? And your response is okay. You know why? Because that's what I mean when I say knowing our money dynamics. You know, if you don't understand your money personality, then, you know, you just won't understand the real you. You know, but there's other people out there now. There's other people out there who would say, you know what? I'm going to borrow that money. I'm going to get that $100,000, pay back 3%, but I'm going to take this money and I'm going to make 20%. You know, so it just depends on how you look at the money to determine whether you yourself should borrow or not. Because if you want to grow, you got to give up a cost. You know, you can't grow without a cost.
Yep. And you're absolutely correct. Absolutely correct.
I'll chime in on that too. So, like, where I was out of work, and when I first got out of work, and mortgage was due, and I hadn't gotten anything from any checks from the state or anything at that time. And they had said, you know, you can have a forbearance or whatever for your mortgage. And it's like we had applied for that because just the time that we were in. Then it's like, well, we're just going to go ahead and stretch it as far as we can go. We're going to pay our mortgage and worry about everything else next, because you're going to have to pay that mortgage back in the next couple months. And here it's like, why do we want to keep on adding it on to ourselves and then have ourselves in a bigger hole in the next, you know, and in a couple months when we have a couple mortgages due then at the time? It's like, nobody's going to give you anything. You know, they're going to all want it back and then plus some. So it was just kind of like just different decisions that I had to make for my family in the beginning, you know, just because we are a low income household here. So it's like, you know, we had to figure out what we were going to do this week and this week and this week before we kind of got on the track of how it was going to be. So, but
yeah,
it's like, oh, great, we can get help. It's like, it's not really help. It's help for right now, but still have to give it all back.
Yeah. Right. And, you know, it just, I'm sorry, Vivian. Yep.
No, I was going to say, yeah, I guess it all boils down to, like you said, about the mindset and how you feel about money and what, you know, how you see That's how right. that money can make money for you or it make you grow right. in a certain standpoint. Because sometimes, like you just said, what you said really good is that some people can look at that and say, okay, at that percentage, I can use that money and make 20% more in my business, use that money for something that I need to put my business to another level. And those are things that we have right. to really look at of how we're going to make this benefit us in the long run, not just to take the money to just spend the money, or like Melissa said, defer your mortgage when you know that you don't have a plan. And when time comes, you still got to pay that money back. So this is really a good conversation you guys are having. And I know these are things that people are thinking about. And that's why we allow you guys to just go ahead and talk, because you guys are the ones who are experiencing the lack. You know, like Patty said, and she's very passionate about it. Like, you know, you owe me this money. This is not my fault. And, right. you know, Melissa's talking right. about how basically, you know, I have to pay this mortgage back. I'm still going to pay something on this. So I'm going to twist it a little. Did you have something to add to that, Mark? I'm so sorry. I was going to move on to another question.
Oh, no, please do. Yeah, because you pretty much just mentioned what I was going to say. But yeah, I'm with you.
Okay. So being a mother, Melissa, and having two kids, and, you know, you talked about you lost a job, and Patty talked about, you know, baking cakes, and she talked about doing deliveries. What did you do to make ends meet?
Oh, we stopped going out and spending money because we didn't have the extra money to be spending. So I enjoy cooking. So just starting to do cooking different things, like taking advantage of leftovers, maybe making a whole chicken and then using it a couple different ways, making it into lunch and dinner, you know, having dinner and lunch the next day, just being smart about what we were buying. Wasn't really spending money. At least everything was kind of close, so I didn't have the, you know, couldn't really go shopping too much, but just had to watch the way that we were going shopping, meals that we were cooking. At least we were saving on not traveling with gas. So, I mean, it's just different. It just, I guess that's not really answering your question.
No, it's okay, because you said some points that people can do. Like you mentioned about the chicken. You cook the whole chicken and you cut it up to make it stretch for a couple of days. That's stuff that people don't really know they could do. You know, you plan maybe the chicken, you do chicken breast today, you do sandwich the next day, you make a soup the third day, whatever it may be. Exactly. But some people may not know that they can do that with a chicken or whatever it may be. But I'm going to give you the same question too, Patty. How did you keep your customers engaged? Your customers are not there right now. You know, they normally see you all the time, and, you know, they talk to you about their personal issues, because that's what most people do. Sometimes they go to hairdressers or the barber or whatever it may be. So how did you keep your customers engaged? Let them know that you're there. Let them know that you're still, you know, there for them. What did you do in this time?
I tried to, and I made sure to keep the communication lines open. You know, when the shop first closed down, I called every one of my clients that are my regular clients, you know, ones I have phone numbers to that, you know, were coming on a regular basis to let them know what was going on, you know. A lot of my clients are on Facebook. I reached out to them on Facebook and I said, you know, told them if they need anything to inbox me, you know, everybody has my phone number. I made sure I would text them, you know, ask them, how's your hair doing? You know, and some people are receptive to the calls, and some people seem like they were just like, well, okay, well, I'm just going to wait. I said, okay, well, I'm just here to make sure that you know I'm around, you know, if you need me. Some people said they didn't need advice on their hair, and nothing else you can say was like, okay. But I made sure that I kept the communication lines open.
Yeah.
That's the main thing. You know, some of them are starting to reach out to me, you know, now that they know that Pennsylvania is about to open, you know. So communication is key.
Awesome.
You have to stay, you know, you have to stay mentally in their head, you know. But a hairdresser, everybody loves, they're going to come back to get their hair done. This is a rough time for a lot of women. So I said, everybody will need a makeover. That's what I know. So,
good.
But you have to stay in communication. That's the
thing. Okay, so you guys are doing a good job. So what measures do you have in place when you reopen, Patty?
Well, right now, I saw the news yesterday, and I know that I have to get my shop clean. I am a one-person salon, so I only take and have always worked with one or two people at a time anyway. I've always worked by appointment only. So the things that people are doing now, I've always done. So most of the transition that I'm going to have to do is basically getting my shop prepared, you know, maybe social distancing, some of the chairs in my salon. But like I said, I'm a one-person salon. I have no other stylist. So a lot of these salons and things have to follow certain guidelines because they have 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 stylists.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you have to make sure that your distancing is complete. And then that goes from state to state. You know, mm-hmm. I've been in places in Delaware where there's like hardly anything that I would see will be distancing, and they're still open. So I'm a one person show, so I know I have to get my shop clean, and I have to, you know, just do everything that I've done before. It's not going to be new to me, mm-hmm. you know, where people have to sit outside, like, you know what I mean? Like, people have to literally go knock on the door, and then they have to tell you to go wait outside, and we'll do this. I don't have to operate that way. So I'm really just going to hit the ground running after I do a very good cleaning.
Awesome. Mark, so what other ways are things that one could, you know, be doing around this time with so many people are unemployed?
Yeah, sure. Well, you know, that's an answer that can be very subjective, you know, but from, you know, my standpoint, you know, from a Christian man, as well as, you know, a CPA standpoint, you know, first, it's important to know yourself, know what drives your buttons, you know what affects your spirituality. You know, I often say to folks, it's always important that when an individual is going through storms, that they remain calm and remain peaceful, and they stay around things that make them strong, mm-hmm. you know, and those are things that affect the person's spirituality. You know, look, it's difficult times, you know, some days you might feel up, some days you might feel down, but, you know, from a spiritual standpoint, it's important for you guys to take hold of what affects your spirituality. You know, those things that relates to or affects your spirit, you know?
Right.
So we had a young lady mentioned that she enjoys, you know, cooking. She enjoys baking. You know, there are different things that a person can do during these difficult times to make them feel excited about the next day, make them feel excited about their current day, you know? So that's just one opinion. Now, looking at it from a financial standpoint, look, you know, it's important to know your budget.
Mm-hmm.
Times. But if you don't know your fight, then you won't understand how much food you can bring to the table, you know? So it's important for you guys to really hone in on your budget. Look, gas prices have gone down drastically. So that's monies that's available that would have had been spent had gas prices still been up, you know. People are eating out less, you know. So, look, I would say, you know, when you guys go to the grocery stores, you know, understand your budget. How much do you spend every month on food? Well, before the pandemic, when I had a job, we were spending $1,000 a month on food. Well, after the pandemic, you know, what are we really spending now or budgeting for food? You know, you guys can be frank. You know, before the pandemic, everybody was eating out. You know, in the United States, the food industry, Viv, is a $800 billion industry, you know, and that industry has been affected big time by the pandemic.
Right.
So, you know, it's important to realize that, yes, monies have been lost in that industry, but at the same time, you're saving money because you're not spending money in that industry.
That's correct.
So, you know, yeah, so the economics may be different. You know, the 1+1, your 1+1 may no longer be 2. But if you look at your budget, I'm telling you, folks, you will be able to see that there's a lot that you are going to save, even though there's a change in your flow of income, you know. Mm-hmm. Now, looking at it from a revenue standpoint, what can we do? Well, you know, the government has currently offered programs for those who have been affected by this pandemic. There's the deferred grant where a business can apply based on revenues and credit, get a grant. So, you know, and if you're self-employed, the same thing. You know, right. So there are programs in that aspect that the government have designed to impact and help that industry of individuals and businesses who have been affected by the pandemic. Now, for those of you who've had a job, you know, and you're getting a W-2, it's important that you apply for unemployment. It's important that you apply for unemployment on the state level, as well as unemployment on the federal level.
So,
you know, if you, yeah.
So what about those people like Melissa that says that it took her a while to get unemployment? Do you have any advice for those individuals to what they can do to make it, you know, what steps can they take in the meantime, or, you know, how can they get it sooner? Is there any suggestions for that?
Well, I'll tell you how I view it, right? So, okay, you're still waiting. You know, believe me, you need the monies now. Look, it's frustrating for many citizens who've worked and had to, you know, rely on their income to pay bills. And now you're waiting on this money weeks after you've applied. Sure, it's bad, bad culture. And your local government and federal government is really who's to blame, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know what's taking these people long to process applications. I don't know what's taking them long to see that Americans are affected by this. Let's get this money out. Mm-hmm. So I would say that that's an instant where, you know, the government has failed us. Mm-hmm. But most importantly, there's still relief. You know, for those of you who are paying your mortgages, you know, the government is also, even though they failed us on getting us the money fast, they've also instilled legislation. Now, here's where they saved us, legislation where, you know, you don't have to pay your mortgage, you know, when the time comes when it's due. The same goes for utilities bills. Mm-hmm. Look, I know here in Georgia, they sent out a notice that, hey, no one's utilities will be affected up until July. You know, so therefore, you know, people's a lot more settled in their mind. There's time available for them to wait for unemployment and eventually receive unemployment, which, by the way, as of today, a lot of folks have been getting monies, and there's possible talks of a next stimulus plan.
Right. I heard about that also. Now, why is it that one would need a financial advisor?
That's a great question. Financial advisor, see, folks would hear the word financial advisor and they think, well, you know, that's for the rich guy, or that's for the guy who can afford it, you know, and then they continue to live their life based on a certain lifestyle. So in my opinion, the importance of a financial advisor for those who really care about the level of lifestyle they're living. And when I say level of lifestyle, I'm talking about whether you're middle class, upper class, lower class, it doesn't matter. You know, for those who care about knowing the level of lifestyle you're living, a financial advisor can help bring to light your current financial situation. So, for example, you're working hard, you're coming home tired. Well, what are you working towards? Mm-hmm. You know, are you working towards a retirement plan for your future when your body begins to break down? You know, these are things that a financial advisor can help bring about, a manual that would help you to move forward to say, well, listen, you're working, you're making X amount of dollars, you're not making enough towards your retirement, or you're working, you're making enough towards your retirement, but you're not investing enough.
Okay.
So a financial advisor, in a nutshell, is someone who's a financial coach and will be able to coach you through your lifestyle. You see, there's three phases of a person's lifestyle that impacts their living, impacts their growth, and impacts their money. Mm-hmm. And those three levels are the accumulation period, right? So that's the period when someone's about 25 years old to about 41, where they're young, you know, they have a lot of energy, you know, you want to go hang out, you know. And in fact, Viv, if you think about it, and it's just a genius planning on the government standpoint, the accumulation period is known as a period where there's a lot of individuals in that period are single. And because of that, think about it, the tax rate for single individuals are so high. Tax rate for, if you're single in America making $100,000, you're going to be clobbered on tax as opposed to being married. You know, so I look at the accumulation period as a period where, you know, it's a period where you're young, you're energetic, you're going out, you're working, you know, and then once you reach the conservation period, which from the age of 41 to about 59, once you reach that conservation period, your mindset begins to change. Mm-hmm. And then lastly, you reach the distribution period where, you know, you're a grandparent, you know? So a financial advisor is so important in the need for you to understand your movements through your life cycles.
Wow. Okay.
You know, so nutshell, that's what I would say.
Wow. And what questions should one be asking their financial advisor? Because that's really good in the way you broke that down. But what questions should they really, you know, when they sit down and meet with a financial advisor, what should they be asking?
Sure. Well, the first thing you should do is, you know, research the advisor's background. Mm-hmm. You know, it's nice for you to know a little bit about what the person's done, the person's history. That's important because you want someone that really knows what they're talking about, you know?
Okay.
I've been doing this for over 25 years, and my mindset today is not the same as my mindset 20 years ago.
Right.
So, you know, the maturity of a financial advisor is very important. And another thing I want to point out is, look, there's multiple personalities that can impact a person's mind.
That's true.
And impact what a person hears, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have the personality of your attorney. You have the personality of your accountant. You have the personality of your financial broker. Then you have the personality of your estate planner. So there are different personalities, different energies that can be talking to you. And look, you don't know what energy a person's coming from when you ask a question, you know? You know, you may ask your attorney, hey, should I put this house in both me and my wife's name?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's funny to say that attorney may have just gone through a divorce. That attorney may be a little bit upset and say, well, you know what? I wouldn't do that if I were you. I wouldn't trust your wife. But listen, I'm an attorney, so you know, I'm going to go ahead and do it. Listen, you do not want a financial advisor who's going to be emotional about their advice to you.
Right.
You know, you want someone that is independent from their emotions,
mm-hmm.
and someone that is connected to your emotions.
Mm.
So, you know, that's one of the advisors that I would say to you listening today,
mm-hmm.
On this awesome show. I would say that, look, when you ask a financial advisor questions, listen to them, you know, study how they communicate to you, you know, listen to the things that they say. Is it mainly in line with their feelings, or is it mainly in line with your reality? So,
right.
That's just a brief, just advice on what I would say to those listening, wow. what to ask the financial advisor.
That's good stuff. What about those individuals, those people who are not unemployed and they want to know, you know, what about us? What do we do with our investment? Should we buy? Should we sell at this time? What should we be doing with our money right now? What would you say to those particular individuals?
One word, nothing.
Mm.
Nothing.
Okay.
Those individuals listening, you have a W-2 job. You're making money. You know, you're sitting on money. You know, what should you do now? I would say nothing. You know, we're in a pandemic. You know, yeah, a lot of people say, oh, it's a pandemic. Now is the time to invest. Now is the time to put monies in, you know, and I'm not trying to get my own emotion involved.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just told you guys about, you know, but, you know, when I look at the reality of, okay, you're in a pandemic, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow.
Right.
Right. You know, you don't know if the company you work for is going to fold or what. I just don't believe that it's good time to move forward. I think that once we get a clear picture of the future, and that's where presidential leadership comes into play. And it seems to me that, you know, Washington's a bit, you know, they had a confused approach as to where, you know, as to this pandemic. Is it going to spread? You know, how many people it's going to kill? You know, where it's going to spread to? There's been a lot of confusion coming out of Washington. And
mm-hmm.
in my opinion, where you see confusion coming out of the government, you know, I just don't think it's wise. But listen, hey, you listening right now, you may have a very risky personality. I respect that. You may have a personality where, hey, you know what? I don't care. I'm going to dive into this ocean, you know, even though the waves are very high. Listen, I say go for it. You know, look, I'm not going to stop here and stop you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to say go for it. If you have the mindset for it, if you're willing to take those risks,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you're willing to buy stocks that are very low right now in anticipation that after the pandemic is going to shoot back up, go for it.
Awesome. Patty, did you have to pay your landlord at this time?
No, what I did was I called my landlord maybe a few days or a week or so after it happened. I talked to them, and I've been there for 3 years. Like I said, you have to have good relationships with people as well. And they told me, you know, don't worry about it. Pay when I can pay them. And I mean, that's not going to last forever. what I'm going to do with them now is I want to communicate to them to ask them how I'm going to move forward. You know, how do we proceed forward? When I come back, what am I going to owe you? I have to get those. That's another thing that I'm glad you mentioned, that I have to get in place, because I like to know. I don't like to be like, oh, what are they going to say? I need to know what we need to do for me to move forward. You know, I have the suggestion. They may not take it, but I'm going to suggest it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you never know until you ask,
right? And I'm going to.
Exactly. So, Vilma, do you have any more questions for our audience?
Okay. Either of you can jump in. And I see the admirable job you guys have done, and, you know, trying to make your money stretch as far as it can so you can survive. And I may be a little bit upset because, you know, the help that was promised did not come through for you. But if you were to advise someone who is going through a similar problem, what would you say to them?
You want to go first, Melissa, or you want me to go first?
I'll go first because mine's kind of shorter and sweeter. I mean, you just have to live every day as it goes by and just kind of cope with what you can do. Shop smarter. Don't overspend when you don't need to. You know, you don't need to get the extra stuff. Just get what you need from the store. You know, you don't need to stockpile on everything. Get what you need to feed your kids. You know, try to just be smarter with what you have going on. And I'm thinking about the relationship that I'm making with my children that I haven't been able to make with working a lot usually, you know, and out late, being able to read them bedtime stories, you know, taking every second of it, just making the best of it.
Good.
Okay. So my advice for all my other stylists out there, own beauty salons and barbershops and nail salons, is to save your money. Now, if I have not learned anything, no. If God has not shown me anything, it's the difference between a want and a need. Because he showed me that because he closed the mall. So I couldn't go anywhere to try anything on. So I stopped shopping. He's caused me to really save money. I'm not going to the movie theater. If he hasn't shown us anything, like said earlier, is to save the money, especially if you're self-employed. You know, that's one big thing that I've learned God has shown me during this time, and to keep up good standards with creditors and to keep the communication lines open. If you're self-employed, you may need to up your credit, but if you're, you know, self-employed and you're spending money, you know, because I've been doing this for a long time. I started in my mom and dad's basement. And I had money in my hand every day. And I would go to Acme every day and just buy. I didn't need it. So I'm just saying that being self-employed, you have money in your hand every day. Most people don't. Save your money.
Right.
Good advice. Vivian, I'm going to just summarize what I got from both Melissa and Patty. Thank you. Don't overspend. Because sometimes, you know, when you're at home and you're not going out, you tend to want to eat more. So don't overspend. Don't stockpile. If it's not there, then we won't want it. So those are some good advice. The difference between want and need. And I know that applies to a lot of us. So now we realize, well, I can exist without that. I can exist without going to the restaurant. So you cook more. That is excellent. Keep the lines of communication open with your creditors. Yeah, that is such great advice. And what do you think about adding to that? You keep the lines open, but if you can pay at least the minimum, what do you think about that, Patty?
Okay. And I called everybody, but some of them I have paid. But when they say during this pandemic, they were overly generous and I took it. If they said you don't have to pay your payments in July, we're not going to give you any late fees, and you just continue, that's what I'm going to do. Because I'm not, you know, $50 here, $100 here, $75 there, that adds up.
Right.
If you're not getting any income, you know what I mean? Like, and sometimes it may not be feasible for you to spend every penny you save to pay a credit card. If they're going to allow me to do that and I have good credit, then I took it.
Right.
So, yeah, that was a great thing that Patty did by contacting all of her creditors and, you know, just making her presence known that, listen, there's a pandemic. I'm making an effort to cover me for at least a certain grace period or whatever. So that was an awesome, awesome thing that she's done. And what you do there now is that you prevent adverse credit effects in your report. And I'll tell you, you know, government legislation is important as well, because for those of you who may not have done that, what government legislation can do now, when Congress passes certain laws, it can force those credit reporting agencies, and it can also force those companies that you may be late at paying and you forgot to call to make mention of lateness, it can also force them to not apply the rules of adverse credit reporting. You know, so Patty, look, thumbs up on that. You did the right thing. And for those listening, I would follow those footsteps as well.
Awesome.
I have learned so much. I hope our audience also have gotten some good information from what you all have said. And I think one of the things, just my takeaway, in addition to what I just said before about not overspending and stockpiling, I think that each, you know, if you can, you should get somebody who will advise you on the best way, because a lot of times we think we know the best to do with our money.
Right.
But sometimes getting advice, I think, is good. And, right. And why you should get, you know, a financial advisor, I think you should ask yourself, am I doing the best I can? Why don't I get somebody who this is their job? This is what they were trained for, and have them do it. So I think getting somebody who's an expert on it, I defer to people who are expert. I don't want you to tell me my job,
right?
Really. So I don't tell you yours. So I really listen and I learn. So I think, you know, we should get somebody who is qualified, that is able to advise us wisely.
Right.
And in how to go about doing this.
Awesome.
That's so true, Ms. Dawn, because I always tell my clients every day, you're not a hairdresser.
I know.
So what you said rings true for me, and I'm going to call Vivian's friend, Mark, right?
Yes, his name is Mark Howard.
Yes, I'm going to call. You're right. Thank you, Ms. Velma.
You're welcome. You know, it just makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm.
Makes perfect sense.
It does.
Next steps for those who are listening. One, as we have listened, we have heard, I want you really to seek somebody who can help you financially, who can help you get out of maybe the rut that you're in, who can look at your savings, your 401k, your 403b, whatever it is, your savings that you had. Have somebody who you can get advice from. Don't panic when it looks really, really bad. And you're like, okay, I'm just want to sell this, or I don't know. Get them to advise you what to do, and as much as you can. And I'm saying this because this is what my financial person tells me. Hold it as long as you can. Don't do a panic sell. But get somebody who can advise you and try to take a stock of where you are financially.
Right.
Try to take a stock. What have you lost? What's your deficit? And be truthful to yourself. Don't hide some of them. And as these young ladies say, be encouraged.
That's right.
Well, I sure enjoyed my time tonight. I really did.
Well, we thank you. We do appreciate you ladies coming on and joining us, and also Mark, because he really did have some really good information for us. And we do appreciate you ladies. We do appreciate your frankness, you know, where you are right now and everything that's going on with you. And we know that, you know, with God, all things are possible. We know that with your determination, Patty and Melissa, that you guys will make it through. You put really great things in motion, and because you put great things in motion, then you expect a great return. And I can see that even though, Melissa, you're not at work, you still excited, you're still happy, you're not down or humdrum, you still have that joy on your face and in your voice, and Patty, you are just strutting through, you making it happen, you're not waiting for someone to make it happen for you. So we just really appreciate you ladies for coming on. So if somebody want to get a hold of you, Mark, how can they get a hold of you?
There's a few ways. You know, I must tell you that I have an office in Kingston, Jamaica, that I travel to at least 2-3 times a month. I have an office in New York, as well as in my restaurant here in Atlanta. You know, my wife and I are owners of the Dutch Pot Caribbean American Flavors, located in Stockbridge, Georgia. We have 2 locations here. So there's my Solomon location equivalent. I call it Solomon, you know, because it has to represent royalty. My Solomon location is where my office is. Okay. I have an office built in there just for myself. So if you want to reach me, you can either contact me directly on my number at 770-883-1905. That's my direct cell. You can also contact me on my office phone at 678-466-6800. And you can listen out for my extension. You know, now what's unique about my office phone, folks, is that you can call me. You can even send me a text message from my office line if you don't get me, and I'll get it immediately. And then you can also email me. If you want to send me an email, Michael at B as in boy, H as in Harry, T as in Tom, A as in apple, X as in x-ray, C as in cat, P as in Paul, A as in apple, S as in Sam.com. Michael at bhtaxcpas.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Mark. We really appreciate you.
Thank you so much for having me, Vivian.
Great, it was a pleasure. Information, too. And great information. I'm sorry for cutting you off.
Listen, it's all right. You know, I get so excited about this stuff because I just see how it can really impact people's lives.
Awesome. This is, once again, Life Chat with Vivian Ville. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. See you next week.
Bye-bye.